Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. That'd be me. I'm awfully glad you joined me today. And we're going to have a fantastic hour coming up. Todd Mullican from Mullican Counseling in Edina is in my studio. And maybe someone you care about has hurt you. And you can certainly hold on to that anger and resentment and thoughts of revenge, and it will eat you alive. Or you can embrace forgiveness and move forward. And so if you've been hurt by the actions or words of somebody, maybe there's been trauma, maybe there's been an affair, maybe there's been some sabotage in your life, and you just hurt and it aches and you need forgiveness. Maybe you don't practice forgiveness as well as you should. We're going to talk about that today with Todd, and we're going to open up the phone lines because this is such a big topic. We talked about it this week already. I think it was yesterday we touched on it. And how important it is for us to learn the skill of forgiveness and to be doing it regularly and to be asking God to help us with every step of the way. So if you are struggling with an area in forgiveness, maybe you need to forgive someone, or maybe someone tried to apologize to you and you just didn't receive it well because you're mad. Let's talk about it. 877-933-2484 is the number to call or to text. We would love to have you engage with us today. Todd is in studio ready to take questions. We'll take a little break, and I'll get a sip of coffee. Well, I guess I won't. And then we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin Smith of Unlocking the Bible, and we're honored to partner with Faith Radio and want to say thanks for their faithful ministry. Did you know that February 2019 marks the 70th anniversary of the start of the Faith Radio Network? Relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching has continued uninterrupted for seven decades thanks to you. Your prayers and your generous support keep Faith Radio going and growing.
With the Faith Radio app, you can listen to episodes of your favorite shows when it's convenient for you. Connect with our hosts and listen live no matter where you are. Take the Faith Radio app to the gym, the office, or on vacation. The Faith Radio app aims to make listening to relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching and compelling conversations on our live interactive talk shows easier than ever. Download the free Faith Radio app in the Apple App Store or on Google Play today.
Welcome to the show. Todd Mullican is in my studio. He's my guest. His website is Todd, T-O-D-D-M-U-L-L-I-K-E-N, toddmullican.com. His office is in Edina, Minnesota. And we're going to talk today about forgiveness. And, of course, forgiveness means different things to different people. But Jesus said we must be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as I have forgiven you. So it's not an option. It's a command. And the decision to let go of resentment and maybe thoughts of revenge, or maybe you want your pound of flesh because you've been hurt or offended. And I get that. That's usually what happens. But if you want to have a healthier relationship and just better mental health, and you want to alleviate some anxiety and stress, forgiveness is the key. And joining me here in studio is Todd Mullican. Todd, what do you think so far of what I've said? Does any of that ring true to you?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's such a common struggle for all of us, wherever we're at in our story.
I mean, can't we make ourselves literally sick by just holding on to stuff?
Yeah, internally.
It eats away, doesn't it?
It does. We're not for being resentful people. You know, you and I aren't for being bitter.
No.
So I think none of us are looking forward to having bitterness within us, but it's also hard to kind of, I think what happens, we just go to forgive as the Lord forgave us, and then we just try to release it, but we don't go go through the process of grieving or understanding our own feelings or understanding really the other person and why they have a pattern of bullying or why they have a pattern of being an addict or mm-hmm. why they have cheated and then what we're experiencing and how to bring the Lord into that process. You know, I think it's important to remember that forgiveness happens over time, not overnight, but we need to pursue it. We need to be for it, and it needs to be a process. So I think it's counterintuitive for people just to kind of run to it, because oftentimes people that just run to it are then, you know, emotionally really struggling for a while because they kind of got to it quick without really understanding the process. So mm-hmm. I think it's, and each situation is so different, but I think if we frame it with what are we for, we're certainly more for forgiveness than we are for being bitter, you know?
Yeah.
So I think if we can start a framework of saying, yeah, it's not healthy for me to be hanging on to things. I know it's healthy to pursue forgiveness, and I know I don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
So.
Why is it so easy to hold a grudge? I mean, it can start really small, can it? And
yeah.
then it can kind of build, and all of a sudden, then it's a big deal.
And I think we have some of us that are people, some of us address issues, some of us avoid issues. And those of us that address issues, I think, kind of get cleaned up quicker on it, but we have to maybe watch what we say when we're just confronting that situation in our mm-hmm. mind. And then we have some of us that kind of slowly build up our resentment banks. You know, they slowly eats away at us. We're trying to be pleasing to others. We're trying to be helpful. We don't really want to confront the person that did that because we don't want to hurt their feelings. But, boy, I'm not ready to forgive them. So the grudge can build. So mm-hmm. I think some of it is our style that we have. And I think also some of it is how we were raised. You know, did we see forgiveness modeled in the home when a parent overreacted or when a child you know, really made a poor mistake? And was there mercy in the home? Was there a process of forgiveness? So oftentimes we just don't, you know how to process it, you know, because we don't experience it. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we experience a parent that is either very shaming or very like, hey, whatever you do is fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not blaming that. I'm just saying that's just so it isn't as natural for somebody to learn the journey of forgiveness and kind of get through it
mm-hmm.
earlier in their life.
Very sad, isn't it?
That's hard.
It's so sad when, you know, the parents always do the best they can do.
Of course.
But, of course, if they have got their own baggage or their parents didn't show them certain things, they don't turn around and have it available to show to their kids.
No. Well, generational patterns carry on. But, boy, it's nice to know that we can start reversing that process, and we get to do that as Christians.
So when I look at grudges, and I think there's got to be collateral damage to holding a grudge, like increased anger, possibly increased sadness, possibly increased confusion. You put that in the pot, and that's a nasty cup of stew.
A lot of overwhelming feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just keeps going on and on. And if you are in that boat today and you want us to talk about whatever it is you got going on, let us know. 877-933-2484. You can end up being very depressed and anxious, can't you?
Yeah, that's usually what happens is depression is anger turned inward.
Uh-huh.
And anxiety is the fears. And a lot of times when we're anxious, we have feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. Like one of the things I commonly see with for example, forgiving from an affair, oftentimes the person that went through the betrayal themselves or they were betrayed, they feel their own inadequacy. They feel their own insecurity. They feel their own rejection. And so that feeling builds up and builds up. Instead of addressing that feeling with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and trying to release that feeling and know that I am loved and accepted and approved by God. Yes, my partner did betray me. We are choosing to work on it. Or my partner has remorse or they don't have remorse. But I'm doing my part to make sure my own feelings of how I view myself in Jesus isn't being defined by what this person has done to me.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the blocks I've seen for forgiveness is that there's so much of a focus on what the other person has done to me versus what am I doing to slowly release myself from this process and giving that to God, holding myself in a gentle way accountable to moving forward with letting go of that resentment or bitterness, mm-hmm. which includes creating boundaries, et cetera.
Yeah. So. Todd, what's the normal incubation time from when you develop a grudge to when you actually talk about it?
Oh, boy.
I mean, seriously, can it
years? It can be decades for some people. Yeah. Yikes. You know, you've heard of families where, well, I haven't talked to my brother for 23 and a half years, or, you know, a sibling of mine and I, we haven't dealt with it and we're not going to, or I know what they're going to say anyway, so it's not worth my time. And lots of reasons not to address, right? Mm-hmm. And avoiders, you know, I tend to be more avoidant too. We tend to say, well, it's not going to be worth it anyway. You know what I mean? It's not going to work. Versus, well, it isn't even matter if it works, really. It matters more that I am releasing the injured party, you know, as mm-hmm. I'm called to do and that I get to do as Christ has released, you know, has forgiven me. So that's my process to work on myself versus being defined by whether what the other person has done or how they haven't talked to me, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to take a little break, and then we will be back in about 90 seconds. If you have a question for Todd Mullican, please call or text 877-933-2484. Welcome back to the show. It is 17 minutes after the hour. Todd Mullican is my guest in studio. We're talking about forgiveness today, letting go of certain grudges we have and bitterness, because when that incubates and that can eat up decades of your life, and then all of a sudden you realize you've been holding a grudge and God says, let's forgive and let's be healthy and let's just kind of get things right. And I know there's people that are going to be coming in with questions. I've got one here already, Todd, if you would just give me a second here.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are closest to you sometimes are the quickest to fall away. He lost his son a few years ago. I'm so sorry. And the people closest to him were hurtful during that time.
Mm.
He's had a hard time forgiving them and praying now. He's asking for prayer regarding this. So how crushing is that?
I'm so sorry for the loss.
It's, oh, my goodness.
Horrific.
Yeah, and now you're not, yeah.
Oh, and, you know, I think what happens in those situations often is people close to us don't really know what to do either. You know, they maybe say the wrong thing, or they avoid talking about it, or they don't know how to come around us in our time of trauma and pain and grief. And so one of the things I think can help is try to, you know, have some understanding for what people must be, you know, their efforts, or maybe just forgiving them for them not, you know, being around myself as much as I needed that person to be. And I'm sad about that. And maybe it's okay too, to confront that person in love and say, you know, I'm just really struggling with what happened here and I'm having a hard time letting it go. You know, how are you feeling about what happened? You know what I mean? So I do think we're called to break bread and to try to pursue a reconciled spirit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, if we can, when we avoid it and just hang on to it, we're more vulnerable, I think, to keep the grudge going. And then, you know, when we're dealing with a loss that's so traumatic like that, that's really painful and hard. So I think the pursuit of understanding of what others might have been going through, and maybe, especially if one of those people is somebody, you know, you really want to try to reconcile with, I think I always say, you've heard me say last time I was on, how do we let each other in versus take
that.
Things out on
yes,
each other?
Yes.
So how can I let this person in saying I was really so sad with your response to the loss of my son, and I'm just really struggling with that still. You know, I'm going to have an open conversation because I get to do that.
Mm-hmm. Todd, what happens when someone will not admit, they won't take responsibility for their side of the bargain,
yeah,
or lack thereof.
Yeah.
So they're not gonna admit any wrong,
right?
And yet you feel wronged, so it's gonna be difficult to forgive someone if they don't meet you halfway.
Right. So I think I don't know if this makes sense, Bill, but sometimes there's a difference between forgiveness and then re-entering into a trusting relationship.
Good
right?
point, yeah.
So forgiveness is a part of saying, look, you know, something in that person's story is making them lack the capacity to acknowledge the fact that they betrayed me or acknowledge the fact that they were really verbally abusive to me over the last few years or that they, you know, their addiction really crushed me in our marriage. You know, something's going on in their story that makes them not capable of coming towards me with what I need to have a sense that they're owning their side of the street. So based on that, I want to make sure for myself I'm not being defined by what that person did to me by hanging on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I want to be defined by my own releasing of forgiving them, which doesn't mean I'm trusting and re-entering into a reconciled relationship.
Right.
I'm creating boundaries for myself. Because I'm called to do that. I'm called to be honest. Love must be sincere. Romans 12:9 says that. So I think we get, sometimes as Christians, we get a little bit confused like, well, forgiveness means, you know, then we're just re-entering into something that is very scary or hard or not safe for me. And I don't view that as the same.
Mm-hmm.
I view that forgiveness as a process that we're doing of letting go of that so that that person that injured us is released from that. But it doesn't mean I'm re-entering into a trusting relationship with them necessarily.
Yeah. And there's a big difference between forgiveness and reconciliation.
Correct.
So, but the forgiveness part is something you can take control of.
Can.
And there may not be a reconciliation, but you can take your do your part and forgive or ask for forgiveness, right?
Yeah, and I do think we have to slow down enough to say, Lord, what am I experiencing here? And help me. If you will, you know, help me with my unbelief, you know, help me with my lack of capacity to forgive here, help me here. What am I experiencing? And oftentimes what we're experiencing is deep rage or a deep sense of inadequacy or, you know, we were bullied earlier in life, so now we're bullying again. A lot of times what I see, Bill, is somebody went through trauma earlier in their life, okay, and now they're in a marital relationship where they've experienced some trauma again. And there wasn't any reconciling from the trauma earlier in their life. You know, the person who wronged them didn't come towards them. So that's still, they're hanging on to that naturally. And now this new person in their life has wronged them again. And so it feels even more overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But what I get to do is try to figure that out. Right? I get to do my own process with Jesus, with a, you know, with a counselor, you know, through some prayer. I get to do my own process of figuring out why am I hanging on to that versus being defined by whether this person is still doing this, whether they've said this or that or the other thing. Does that make sense? Most people are defined by what's still going on with that other person towards me
right.
versus what am I experiencing here and how am I moving forward towards my own place of forgiveness of that other person. And, you know, it feels counterintuitive, but as you know, we know God knows what he's doing. And you know what it's like when we've really forgiven somebody. It is a release. It is a freedom we have. It gives us eyes to understand, wow, you know, the reason they're bullying is because they were bullied, which doesn't mean I'm going to stay in a relationship where I'm being bullied. But I recognize, man, you know, I get. So for me, forgiveness is about having an understanding of what must be happening in that individual's life. And that's a part of what I think helps us release them to the Father so that we are freed from them.
Mm-hmm. Funny you would bring that up. I just had a listener text me in and say, I held a grudge for 20 years, graduated high school in 1996. I was bullied. Was it agnostic? Never had Jesus. If I had Jesus, I'd forgive back in 1996, but 20 years of holding grudges did damage.
Oh.
Unnecessary anger and hate.
Much better said right there.
Yeah.
Powerful.
And he said, my dad held grudges, still does. Like father, like son, both of us did not have the father, Jesus. That's my story.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And look what's happening now in that person's story. They're transforming. And anybody that's around that person now is going to see the power of what forgiveness can look like and what the root was that made him lack the capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
For him, a lack of faith. For him, seeing it modeled in a way that wasn't a process of forgiveness, but rather a process of grudge holding.
Yeah. When couples come into your counseling office, Todd, and you hear a story, and can you see that, oh, boy, someone really needs to be asking for forgiveness? You can see that kind of clearly, can't you?
You can.
And then does that other person say, I want you to not only forgive, but I need you to change, and if you don't, there's going to be consequences? Is that kind of the routine often?
Oftentimes there is, because there's such hurt with it, and hurt people hurt people, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I'm still hurting, I want to hurt the other person. And more importantly, I don't think the other person feels the pain I feel right now. And so until they feel the exact pain I feel, I'm not going to release them, right?
Yeah.
Versus, no, I don't think they'll ever be able to feel that, but you get to release them, which doesn't mean you are going to trust their choices tomorrow. It doesn't mean you're not going to create boundaries, but the bitterness is it's the killer. It's the silent killer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is a process. It's not an incident. It's not an overnight thing. But we have to be, in my mind, offensively minded with pursuing it on a daily basis, not from a place of perfection, because that's also the other block, Bill, I think, with Christians, for us, when we have a hard time forgiving ourselves sometimes, where my spirit isn't perfect about that yet, and I know the Lord, you know, I'm supposed to be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. I'm not perfect yet with where I'm at with forgiving my brother about this. The Lord must feel shame for me. He must, you know, I need to punish myself still because of, you know what I mean? So
we have that view.
And then
Why do we put ourselves through that?
Yeah, and we don't realize. So sometimes for me as a dad of three adult daughters, it helps me have a little glimpse into the Father's love, where I go, if one of my daughters is really beating themselves up about something, you know, my heart just breaks for them, you know. And I know God's heart, His heart breaks for any of us listeners who haven't released themselves and forgiven themselves for something that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we hang on to our own stuff and we haven't released ourselves in Christ from, then we're more apt to hang on to stuff that people do to us too.
Mm-hmm. Todd, I don't know if this is a smart or a dumb question, because I often ask dumb ones. Is unforgiveness a power struggle?
Mm. I think sometimes it is, because I think we feel like I'm going to lose power, you know, if I do this, right? I'm going to lose control over this situation.
Yeah, I mean,
right now I'm in control of the situation.
You've got some game right now.
And, you know, especially for people that have been through trauma.
Yeah.
Now they're, for first time in their life, they feel like they have a sense like they have that alcoholic spouse right where they want them, because the alcoholic parent never worked on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know what? That ain't happened to me twice. It's happened to me twice, and now we're changing the rules right now.
Right.
And that's very normal. I would want to do that, so it's not unusual. It's very normal. But they're staying in a place of punishing themselves and somebody else,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't mean you rush to trust tomorrow. You know, you protect yourself, you have good boundaries, but you know the truth. The truth is the root of the person's addiction is their own demons emotionally,
mm-hmm.
spiritually, right?
Yeah.
That's really the truth of the addict, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard for a person to get there. That's why I do think understanding the other person helps process of forgiveness.
Yeah. So if you've had a grudge, or you're holding one, or did hold one, or you've got a problem forgiving someone, let's talk about it. You can remain anonymous, of course, if you like. You can call or text 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Todd Mullican is my guest in studio. His website is Todd Mullican, MULLIKEN.com. We'll take a short break and be back with lots more in just a minute. Gotta wait for the horns. There it is. I love the horns. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the show. Todd Mullican's in my studio. And toddmullican.com is the website if you want to go learn more about Todd. We're talking about forgiveness today, letting go of grudges and bitterness. Got, let's see, John's on the line from Duluth. He's got a story. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm terrific.
Good, good. Yeah, just listening to your radio station, and I want to just tell you that on that forgiveness, I know that resentment, I had I've been married for a little over 20 years, and my wife had an affair on me probably, you know, about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of went through that, and then I kept trying to forgive her, and I just kept it inside because I didn't realize the resentment that I was holding for it. And not until probably about 6 months ago, and I prayed every day about it, you know, just help me forgive her and help me forgive her. And I never could until I figured out that, well, I'm still holding on to the resentment for what she did. And finally, once I released that, that made a world of a difference. And now we're going back together and through Christ, and it's been a lot better. Been doing good.
Bye.
Praise God.
John,
wow.
What a great story.
Isn't that neat, John, how you're telling us so well, too. You were more defined by what she did. Then you started to look internally, right, with the Holy Spirit and looked at the own resentment you were carrying and did the work on that. That was powerful, John. Congratulations on that. And how are you feeling how are you feeling about your journey with her now?
It's a lot. We've gotten closer than we ever have since it came to a head towards it, you know, about 6 months ago, and I like,
sure,
that's it. I gotta tell her how I feel, and I sat her down, I'm like, this, and you know, and I kind of told her how I felt and what needed to be done and stuff like that, and so it's gotten a lot better, and I didn't put any demands on her. It's just I just had to tell her my feelings and
you let her in.
How I was holding on to all this stuff for so long. So,
well, that's
it took a lot, and through the grace of God, that helped.
Wow! Congratulations on that. It's
really
a powerful story, John.
Really a great story, John. I would high-five Todd right now if I could, but he's 5 feet away and I don't have hand sanitizer. So, thank you for calling in. Making such a great contribution to the show. Yeah, thank you. Wow, that was a great call.
Oh, boy.
I love that story.
Yeah, and it wasn't 8 weeks.
Right.
It was 8 years. It was
right.
A long time.
Right.
And sometimes, but look what happened for him. Eventually, it was eating him up inside, so he started to address the mess with her.
Mm-hmm.
And like he said, that wasn't probably a perfect conversation, but see what he did there that was so crucial, I think, is he let her into what he was experiencing. Versus here's the 23 things that needs to happen in order for me to forgive you tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there needs to be limits set, there needs to be boundaries set, there needs to be, you know, the affair needs to be over, we need to have, you know, there needs to be a process. But, you know, years after the situation is over and they're trying to heal, he did his own work to pursue forgiveness. And that's so key, and what a wonderful story. And again, it's a very real story of not a redemption overnight, not Saul to Paul in 35 seconds,
right,
but Saul to Paul over time.
Right.
And I think that's more of what you see. But now I think he senses that if he has to do something like that again in his life, or, you know, if a child of his is going through something, he's learned, he's grown through that, and God is good.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice to hear that he and his wife are really doing good right now. They're just better than ever, it sounds. And, you know, and that still remains on the permanent record of the marriage, that one of the people had an affair in the marriage.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
And they're not defined by that affair anymore. They're more defined by the healing that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, Todd, you wrote a book on affairs, didn't you?
Yes.
The State of Affairs, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. And thinking about when godly people do ungodly things, I mean, because that's about the greatest violation to a covenant is to cheat on your spouse.
Deep
right?
sense of betrayal.
Oh, the worst.
Absolutely.
What percentage can do what John has done?
Well, you know, national research would say, it's more typical to not do what John did.
Right.
It's more typical to be defined by it. It's more typical for the person who had the affair to not be remorseful. It's more typical for the person who was betrayed to not forgive. So to be counterintuitive, to have remorse and humility for the betrayal that I've caused, and to pursue the validation of my spouse's pain for what I've done, takes mighty work, but powerful work. And then to, when I'm the one that's betrayed, to pursue trust and to pursue forgiveness because I get to is also hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But research also says that if both parties do that type of work, again, both, then their relationship will probably be better than it ever was because they've gone through something very difficult together and both have done their own work to do the healing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's more of rare air, but praise God for John and his story.
Yeah, it sounds like their forgiveness brought a kind of peace that really has helped them go on with life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so powerful. One of the guests on my show is Dr. Larry Crabb, and he's got so
He's so good at that.
He's so good.
Oh.
But he said, I was laying in bed with my wife one night. We were 5 inches apart physically and 5 miles apart emotionally.
Mm.
And my wife said to me, do you think we're going to make it?
Oh,
and he said, I don't know. And he said, I just got done writing a book called How to Have a Good Marriage.
Oh, boy.
Right? And he said, do you ever feel like a hypocrite?
Oh, every day, right?
Yeah.
That's why I go to church, because I know I'm a hypocrite. I know I struggle, right? I mean, yeah, my wife and I always talk about that, about first thing we did as a couple was read the book by John Fisher. This is really old school, 100 years ago, but How Not to Be a Pharisee. You know, the 12 steps of how not to be a Pharisee.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy for, you know, especially somebody in my field to really like struggle and, you know, how do I have a good marriage? I have to go home and my wife realizes, you know, yeah, you're not that big a deal, right?
Right. Right.
And how do I model that and how do we make sure we're not 5 miles apart and move towards each other?
Yeah. Right.
Wonderful words by Larry.
Yeah. Another comment by a listener, and I'm going to just pluck something out of his comment that he wrote. When people play the nobody's perfect card, you know, when they start using those kind of tactics, and what they're trying to, it sounds like what they're trying to do at times is just give themselves a little bit of a break.
Mm.
You know, when mistakes are made or when they hurt someone. And
yeah.
They pull out that card, that's never helpful, is it?
No, there's no ownership. There's no mutual vulnerability. There's more, yeah, I mean, the older I get, the more I think I've learned much more from my mistakes than I have my successes.
Yeah.
So am I owning my mistakes? Am I coming towards this person who I've wronged with ownership? And I'm not insecure, you know, that makes me confident in Christ. That makes my contentment in Christ grow. But yeah, we're very good at deflecting, blaming. Accountability is much harder than blame. Blame is a lot easier. Deflecting.
Oh, yeah.
Playing different cards like that. Absolutely.
And you say so wisely that you need to try to speak without being offensive and listen without being defensive. And if those rules can apply, you can learn a lot. You can grow a lot, can't you?
Well, and we can look at John's model there, the caller. He sat down and he let her in versus taking something out on her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have said, I have every right still, even though it's many years later, to still take something out on you for what you've done to me. But instead, I'm going to let you into the pain I'm experiencing, but the fact that I have been holding on to resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows that gives the other person the best chance, too, to not be defensive, but to come towards. And obviously for her, perhaps she was hanging on to the shame of the affair. Who knows where she was at in her story. But that created a safe place for her to have a better chance to look within herself. He wasn't creating an offensive affront towards her.
Mm-hmm.
He was letting her in. So I think that's a wonderful model for us to pursue and understand.
Yeah, I know this is kind of a generalization, Todd, but can you talk about the different ways men and women handle conflict?
Hmm.
Or is that just too broad of a question?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, 50,000-foot view in general, the problems end up being is women want to express feelings, guys want to fix. So mm-hmm. when the guy is fixing, when the woman is sharing her feelings, the guy oftentimes gets so impacted by how she's sharing it, her mood level, her tone, her this or that, and then he gets lost in the fact, well, she just needs to do this, or if I just tell her this and that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
No. What will help is just listen to understand. And that's a powerful thing. You know, you're sitting there, you know, ideally drawing from the strength of the Holy Spirit as your comforter to say, what I get to do is just try to understand what she's experiencing. And that's when the woman feels safe. That's when the woman feels validated with what she's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, I think it's important for the woman sometimes to realize the guy might not be in touch with the 325 different feelings he has. And that, you know, doesn't always mean he needs 20 years of therapy.
Right.
No, he might, you know, right. And he does need to own his and understand his feelings more for sure. But I think the woman also can realize that in the compartmentalization of the male mind and the male brain, it oftentimes isn't intentional that he is trying to process something a little differently. So I think the woman can, but I've often found that women will respond well as the guy is validating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not putting it all on us as men, but I do think that process of coming towards with listening to understand, it's a very helpful peacemaking process.
Mm-hmm. Are men in general conflict avoiders?
Yeah, I mean, if we had 10 men in the room, yeah, especially yeah. Minnesota men, yeah, right? 8.5 out of 10, right?
We just would want to avoid the
conflict.
Yeah,
just, yeah, and let's just spiritualize it by saying, well, you know, God, you know, come, let us reason together.
Yes.
You know, we'll quote scriptures that say that verse as well. Read John 4 through 8 and how Jesus handled the Pharisees. You kind of get after it, right?
Right.
So, yeah, as guys, we have to address things. Look at John. I mean, our caller, John. Waited
he addressed
a long,
stuff.
But he waited a long time.
I know he did.
And he owned that.
Yeah.
But once he addressed it, it doesn't mean it always works out, but it means that it's now off my chest and I'm doing my own work and I'm letting my wife in about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, big takeaway for us guys is don't avoid the mess, address the mess.
Address the mess.
That's, yeah, and also address the good stuff, you know, the stuff that is powerful and the redemptive work that is going on.
Yeah.
Like Paul writes from prison, you know, hey, you know, whatever is true and noble of excellence of praise, we get to think about those things too.
Amen. All right, Todd Mullican is my guest. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'd like to field your questions. If you would like to send us a text question, I will ask it on your behalf. 877-933-2484. Or you can also call if you'd like to come on the program and speak to us live. We'd love either way, either call or text 877-933-2484. ToddMullican.com is the website. For Todd, we'll take a short break and be right back. Thank you for tuning in. I'm awfully glad you joined me today. Todd Mullican is in studio. He's my guest. Todd Mullican, M-U-L-L-I-K-E-N, ToddMullican.com. And we're talking about forgiveness today, grudges. We're talking about the benefits of forgiving. And, boy, it's challenging. I've got a listener that said, I have a relative say to me that I will forgive you, but I will never forget. That is hard to deal with and move on. Any comments, Todd?
So you got? Did you get a sense from what he's saying, or she's saying that they're more concerned that the other person isn't going to forget what happened?
Yeah, I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it.
Yeah.
So like, let me just wave that flag. I will never forget.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to move on.
Yeah, and again, I think that's where we go to. Well, I can't be defined by what the other person is going to choose to do or not to
mm-hmm.
do. I get to be defined by the fact that it sounds like in this case, I offered Nala Branch of owning my side of the street, and the other person chose to forgive and not forget. But, you know, that's a their issue, not a me issue.
Right.
You know, and I can't make sure that I'm ruminating on what they have chosen not to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I get to do is have mercy for the fact that, well, it sounds like you're going to hang on to that, and I got to make sure I'm not defined by what they are or aren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure I've covered my side of the street well in Jesus and really model peacemaking.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have another caller on the line. Tamara is calling in from Sioux Falls. Tamara, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
I have, I just want you a little bit of advice. I was in a marriage for 20 years, and many, many times through the marriage, my husband went to prostitutes.
Mm.
And he would say, you know, I won't do it again, but then it repeated, and it came to the point where we eventually divorced, but I never felt like he had remorse for his actions,
mm-hmm.
that it was a way of life, and that's how it was. I thought I had come to a point of forgiveness, but then the memories come back and the anger comes back. So I don't know if I've truly forgiven him then, because it goes back to the same thing you just said. You know, maybe I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for that. That's got to be so painful. I think it's powerful that you're aware that it's hard and that you're aware of the anger that you feel. And I think sometimes what happens is, I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Tamara, sorry.
Yep. Tamara, I think what's easy to do is we're grieving, you know, through what happened, right? The loss of that marriage and the grief of what happened to you. And so allow there times, or there may be times when you actually have forgiven that person, but sometimes there'll be a trigger that comes back where you might, you know, the anger might come back. And I think it's okay just to say, Lord, you know, help me with my grief. You know, that's a time where I'm grieving still what happened. And I don't know that it necessarily means you haven't forgiven him completely. I hope that makes sense, you know, and I think it's powerful that you're aware, like, hey, I don't want to be defined by what he did and that pattern he had. I want to be defined by my story moving forward. But when the anger is there, I think it's okay to embrace it and to say, Lord, help me with this. I'm angry and I'm still hurt sometimes, and I get to go to my comforter, the Holy Spirit, and receive mercy and grace and know that I'm loved by God. And know that my ex-spouse had a deep problem of addiction, and I'm released from that. So just want to give you a lot of encouragement today to embrace when the anger is there and to release that and to not necessarily view that as a step back, but just a trigger that happens. I always tell couples that go through these things, you know, triggers aren't necessarily setbacks, Tamara. They're more just a difficult moment of memory that I get to work through with the Holy Spirit and be comforted by God in that and other friends that care about me. So,
and Tamara,
thank you. That was so very helpful.
Yeah. And Tamara, you are beautiful and loved. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. That will help. That advice is so helpful. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You know, she did not sign up for that, Todd.
No.
It just
horrific.
Just breaks my heart.
And there's many situations out there like that, where the sex addiction is a horrific thing.
But this is her life, and this is what happened. And
it's real life.
It's just horrible.
It's just horrific, yeah. Deep pain. And, you know, for her to acknowledge, boy, the anger comes back, well, yes, it does. And that doesn't mean that she hasn't fully released it in my mind, which is another thing I think is important to remember about forgiveness. You know, when, you know, we have memories that come back, and when we are triggered again, we get to, again, release and to go through that and say, and not be defined by, again, what this person did, but more defined by where I'm going and what I'm pursuing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you manage those feelings and emotions when something can trigger you and hijack you.
Yeah.
How you can manage those effectively throughout the rest of your life, because that's always going to be out there, isn't it?
It's so traumatic. Yeah, it's oftentimes in my field when we've gone through deep pain and difficulty like that and deep trauma, we have kind of our time when our trauma mind gets reignited versus our wise mind. And so when we get triggered by something, the brain, the body, the mind kind of goes back to that place. And so then we try to remember the tools we've learned to promote self-care and healthy love from Christ and know that we're loved and we're forgiven, and this person, we're released from them or whatever the situation is, and just kind of remind ourselves of that truth. So we move out of that house of pain and more into the house of truth, whether that's a day later or, you know, 25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, we can have that, those moments, Bill, where we go back like that. And I don't tell people that that's a step back. That is, because sometimes as Christians, like Tamara said so beautifully, well, have I really forgiven because I'm still angry? You know what I mean?
Right.
Versus, well, it's not like, hey, you know, this happened and, yeah, this is great news. And, you know, it's hard. When I think about it, you know, I'm still angry about it. Doesn't mean I haven't forgiven the person in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there's a difference with bitterness and resentment versus grief, right?
Yep. Another caller on the line would like to remain anonymous. So welcome to the program. You've got a comment or a question?
A comment.
Okay.
I have been married for 23 years, and there's just been, I don't know if anyone else relates to it, but there's, you know, little things happen. You maybe choose to forgive, or sometimes you rub it under, stuff it under the carpet, and then it pops up again, like you were talking about. It just, you know, a trigger. And I keep forgiving, and then it would come back, and I'd keep asking the Lord why things weren't changing. Why was I still angry or hurt or feeling violated? And so I went to visit a friend about a week after my birthday, and she's just a dear, dear friend. And we spent the day together, and she and her husband prayed with me and interceded. And it was just really powerful. She just said, you know, can you, you know, forgive? And there were several people I forgave, but I specifically was choosing to forgive my husband. And I know that I, you know, you choose to forgive and loosen from the bonds of unforgiveness. And then I said, Lord, just surprise me with my response, because I cannot do it anymore. I absolutely don't know what to do different. I've tried everything that I think I should be doing. And I just said, surprise me. I mean, surprise me about myself, and surprise. And I went home that night. I got home at 11:30, and he was sleeping. And instantly, I just have to say, instantly, there was a change. Our relationship just, whatever was the wall, whatever, it just, it was like night and day. My marriage was different. And I think it was, and I felt like I had done that before, but I think because I just said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
You have to do it through me, because I can't.
Yeah.
And I surrendered everything, and it was so powerful.
Oh, what a powerful story. Yeah.
I just want to encourage people that it's just like you have to let it go and let God do the impossible in and through you.
Oh, and your dependency moved right to within yourself, to breaking bread with two wonderful friends. Right. And then that, and you released that, and they supported you, they comforted you, as only believers can do. And then you got to that place, and it was a Saul to Paul moment of power and miraculous. So praise God.
I almost didn't want to say anything to anybody, because I was like, I didn't want to,
sure.
It was so beautiful.
Right. That's a beautiful story. We need to hear stories like that.
I agree.
Powerful.
And thank you so much for the call. And Todd, one of the things I really loved about what she asked for was she said, God, would you surprise me with my response?
Oh my.
What an interesting prayer that was.
Yeah.
And in fact, God did surprise her, and she had a response she'd never anticipated.
Yeah, the dialogue, just a dialogue with the Father about that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, a tremendous story.
Well, hearing from the audience is so powerful, isn't it? Just the stories that are out there.
And they're so real, and nobody is sugarcoating anything. I mean, it's these are gut-wrenching.
Real stuff.
Yeah, and the stories of some of the encouraging stories of reconciliation today have been really encouraging, really inspiring.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we usually just hear the stuff that, well, there is never any healing, never any redemptive work, you know, and we're mired in the pain a lot. So these are stories of real life, redemptive moments, redemptive patterns. And, you know, we've seen calls, Bill, where we've seen a redemptive pattern over time with John and Tamara's struggle. And now this last caller, kind of an in-the-moment kind of Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
And you read that through the scriptures, right? You see generational patterns over time that change, and sometimes Saul to Paul moments. So I don't think it's one size fits all. There's different stories out there, and God works in different ways.
Well, if you just know that there's still lots of hope for your marriage, and there's no hurt too deep that God can't restore, and I pray that if you're suffering tonight, that God will be with you, and you can go to Him, and much like one of our callers where you say, I surrender this to you, I'm going to give you control, what a great liberating thing to do, and let God do His work. So that wraps up our show. Todd Mulliken, thank you for coming
in. Thanks, Bill.
ToddMulliken.com is where you go learn more about Todd. He's available to be seen here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Offices in Eden Prairie, is that right, Todd? You're dying, of course. Yeah, I just said that as a joke. I know. Where your office is.
Geez, I went for that,
I was teasing.
Too.
Yeah,
oh,
you bought
goodness.
It. But M-U-L-I.
Double L. Double
L-I-K-E-N.
Yeah.
That wraps up our show. Have a great night, everyone. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.